Shalom to all. Today's daf is Bava Metzi, daf Ayin Zayin, and we are starting Ayin Vav Amud Beis about two lines off from the bottom with the words Ki Hodom Arava. And today's daf is sponsored Lila Nishmas Mars Mirim Sar Bas Yaakov Moshe Harnish Shama Shadav and Aliyah and Lila Nishmas Rabbi Chmiel Mardochai Ben Rav Chaim His Nishama Shadav and Aliyah. So we conclude yesterday with a rule: if workers know what they're getting into and realize inherent risks involved, then they're unable to tie into the Baal Bayis. For example, if they did a seor, inspected the field prior to working it, and then it rained, ruining the field, they have no demands of the Baal Bayis because again they knew this was a possibility. However, if they didn't know the potential risks, either because they didn't see the field before, or the Baal Bayis withheld information that only he could have known, then they are able to demand basic wages from him. And this is really just a continuation. Ki Hodom Arava is just like what Rava said in the following case: Haman to Agar Giri L'Rivka, a fellow hired workers to dig him a ditch in his field, V'asa Mitro Umal Yumaya, and it started raining and ruined the field they weren't able to dig. So Isayr La'arim Urta, if they had inspected the field the night beforehand, Ein Zayin Amun Alfa on top, say the Pa'alim, so this is a loss to the workers because they were there and they knew this was a possibility. Lo Isayr La'arim Urta, but if they didn't check out the field beforehand, say the Baal Bayis, this is a loss to the Baal Bayis. And he has to pay the workers the kapayel batel. He doesn't have to pay them their full wages because at the end of the day they didn't do any work, but he still does have to pay them something. And Vama Rava, Rava says something similar. Haiman to Agar Agir Ladavla, a person hired workers to draw water and water his field, Vasa Mitra, and it rained watering the field, making it unnecessary for the workers to do so, say the pilim. This is a loss for the workers because they knew very well that it could technically rain and then their services wouldn't be needed. However, Asa Nara, if the river overflowed and that's why the field was watered, say the Baal Bayis, this is a loss to the Baal Bayis, Vyav Lukapayel batel, and he would have to pay them Lukapayel batel, because he didn't tell them that the river might overflow and water the field. From a Rava, Rava says something similar. Haimad Agar Giri Ladavla, a guy hired workers to water his field, Upasak Nara Palga Diyama, and the river stopped flowing halfway through the day, so they weren't able to do their work. So who's responsible over here? Eloi Avid Pasek. If this is something which is not normal for the river to do, to just stop flowing in the middle of the day, say the Pilim. This is the loss of the workers, because this is something that neither the workers nor the Baal Bayis could have known about. However, Avid Pasek, if it is normal for the river to stop flowing every once in a while, then it depends. Ibn Masa, if these workers are from this city, say the Pilim, so it's their loss because they should know that the river might stop flowing. However, Labane Masa, if they're not from the city, say the Baal Bayis, it's a loss of the Baal Bayis because the workers couldn't have known about it, and the Baal Bayis could have known about it, and he should have told the workers. Another scenario from Rav Rav says, Haiman to Agar Agri Levito, a fellow hired workers to do work for him, Vishalma Vito Apalgatiyama, and they finish the work halfway through the day. So Isla Avito Denichamina, if he has work that's easier than what they originally contracted to do, Yav Lahu, he could give them that work to do. Inamit Kavasa, Mifkad Lahu, or if he has similar work, it's on the same level as what they had just finished, so he could tell them to do that as well. However, the Kashamina, if the only work he has is harder work than what they were originally hired to do, he's not able to force them to do it, and he has to pay them their full wages as if they did work. So the Gemara asks, Amai, why would that be? They should just be paid like a pile bottle, which is again less than actually doing work, because for the second half of the day they were just sitting around twiddling their thumbs. So why does he have to pay them full wages as if they actually did work? And the answer is, when did Rava say this case? In regards to the porters of Mechuzah, the loy avdi chalshi, that if they don't work, they actually get weak. They're used to carrying heavy loads and doing hard work, and if they just sit around twiddling their thumbs, that makes them weak and it's harmful for them, and that's why they would have to be paid full wages as if they did work. But you're right, in a totally different situation, if the person's not going to suffer a loss by having the second half of the day off, so then he would just get paid like a pile bottle and not full wages. And now going back to explain the brisa from the previous Amud, Amar Meir, we had said in the previous brisa, Shomel Hemes Masha Asu, we evaluate for them what they did. What's this referring to? So this is talking about workers who were hired to do a job. It was either schirus, they were hired to work for the whole day and they backed out halfway through the day, or they were hired to do a particular job, that's kablanos, and they backed out halfway through the job. The Tanakhama says that we evaluate for them that which they did and they're paid for that. So we further clarify, Ketzah, what's this referring to? Hayaf Hashish Dinarim, let's say the remainder of the work, the second half, is going to cost 6 dinarim. Neslam Sela, the Baal Bayis still has to pay them the Sela's worth of work that they did. Let's remember, Sela is 4 dinarim, so they did a Sela's worth of work. Now the remaining half of what needs to be done is going to cost 6 dinarim, not just a Sela, as was originally agreed upon. They still get paid a Sela. And what do we see from here? Kosev Rabbanan, the Rabbanan, which is Tanakama, holds Yad Payal Yoyna, that the worker has the upper hand. Now this doesn't mean that he has the upper hand, that he's getting paid more than originally stipulated. It just means that he has the upper hand and he doesn't lose out. The Baal Bayis is not able to tell him, well, since it's going to cost me more money to hire other workers to finish the job that you backed out in the middle of, I'm going to pay you less. Kamash Mon, the Rabbanan and the Tanakama are telling us they know those workers get whatever they did actually produce. Continuing with Shitas Tanakama, we had said, or if they want, they can continue their work, and then they'll take all 2 slime that was originally agreed upon. The Gemara asks Pshita, that's obvious. What's the Chiddush? Of course, if they finish the job that they had originally said they would do, they get paid fully. Why would you think not? And the answer is, Lo Tzricha, the Chiddush is as follows. The Eikar Vita, then in the interim, meaning in between them backing out and then being convinced to come back and do the work, the cost of the work that they're doing went up. And so now we can understand the case. So Imru Pailim, the Pailim were the ones that had backed out, and the Baal Bayis was Mephias them, he appeased them, he worked really hard in pleading and convincing them to come back. So, you might have have thought that Matu Amrile, the workers are able to tell him, Kimafasinon, we were willing to be appeased, Adai Tafas Lana Agra, on condition that you pay us more than the originally agreed upon price. Kamashwan, the Khidish is Darmaluhu, the Baal Bayas could tell them, Adai Tarchanul Khuba Khilushtiya, I only convinced you to come back and do the job for me with the intention that I was going to give you food and drink, but not that I was going to pay you more money. We can explain in the Braisa, Sela Nurslam Sela, that if the work that they did was a Sela, they get paid a Sela. And once again, we ask Pshita, is that obvious? Of course they would get paid a Sela. Why should they not get paid for what they did? And the answer is, dissolve it to make hara. Originally, when these workers were hired for the first time, work was actually very cheap. But this Baal Bayis happened to have hired them for more expensive, meaning the market value for the half job that they did was really 3, and the Baal Bayis had told them, you know what, I'll pay you 4. And Lusaif, what happened afterwards? Ikravidta. The cost of work went up, and all workers were getting paid 1 zuz more, which is a total of 4 zuz. So Matitema, you might have thought, Amri Le, that these workers could tell him, Tfei Zuza Amrilon, you told us that you were going to pay us 1 more zuz in the going rate. Tfei Zuza Havlon, so give us 1 more zuz in the going rate. And now that the going rate is 4, you have to pay us 5. Kamashmal, the Chiddush is, Darma Lehu, the Baal Bayis could tell them, Ki Amrilchu Tfei Zuza, when is it that I told you I was going to give you a zuz more than the going rate? Deloy Havakimlchu. That's because you weren't 100% certain whether you were going to get the wages that you wanted. I hired you when the job that you were going to do was only 3, and you didn't want 3, you wanted 4, but you wouldn't have gotten 4 anywhere else, so I told you, you know what, I'll give you 4. But hashtakimlchu, now you know that you're able to get those wages somewhere else, and I was never willing to hire you for 5, therefore you only get the original 4 that we agreed upon. That's all she does tana kama. However, continuing with the Braisa, Reb Daisa argued, and he said, Shamalhem es masha asali asais, we evaluate for them what will be done. Hayafashish dinarim naslam shekel. Now, Kosovar was Reb Daisa hold, yad payal al tachtaina, that the worker has a lower hand. Since the worker backed out over here, after the worker backed out, the cost of work went up, as it's going to cost the Baal Bayis more money than originally agreed upon to hire new workers to finish the job. So according to Reb Daisa, the payalim don't get paid for what they did, they get paid for what will be done. And since, again, what will be done costs more money, the payalim get paid less. And so now I can explain Shitas Reb Daisa. He had said, Oyeg mir lachton, either they could finish their job, vietu shnei slayim, and they get 2 slayim. And the Gemara asked Shita, is that obvious? Of course, they finish the job that they were hired to do, they get the full 2 slayim. The answer is, let's see, what's al chedesh over here? We're talking about where the cost of workers actually went down in the interim, and v'imr Baal Bayis. The Baal Bayis was the one that had backed out. Vazel Payalim ufaisuhu, and the Payalim came back to the Baal Bayis, and they convinced him to take them back to do the job. Ma'ad Tami, you might have thought, Matsyam Ralahu, that the Baal Bayis could tell the workers, Adaiti Batsrisu Lima Agrai, I only rehired you, meaning I only let you come back and finish the job with the intention of paying you less, because now workers cost less. Kamashwan, the chedesh is, the army lady, the workers could tell the Baal Bayis, Adaiti Avdin Lacha Vit Shaperta, the reason why we decided to come back is because we had made up our mind that we're going to do really good work for you, much better than usual, but not to take less wages. And in this situation, since it's the Baal Bayis that backed out, he would have to pay them their full wages and he can't take off any money. I can explain Shitas Reb Daisa. He had said, Sela Nislam Sela, that if after the workers backed out, it wouldn't have cost the Baal Bayis any more money to hire new workers. So since they did a Sela's worth of work, he has to pay them a Sela. Once again, the Gemara's Pshita, that's obvious. Of course, why should they not get paid for the work that they did? So Rav Huna, Rav Nasan, he answers, over here is, that originally when the workers had started working for the Baal Bayis, they had decreased their price a zuz. This job that they did on the market would have cost 5 zuz, and they said, you know what, you only have to pay us 4 zuz, which is a Sela. And also, if at the end, Zal Vita, all work went down to that price, meaning all workers would have been paid the same amount. So Mother Tam, you might have thought the Baal Bayis could tell them, Batzer Zuz Am Risuli, you told me that you're going to work for a zuz less than everybody else. Batzer Zuz Yavina Lachu, so I'm going to pay you a zuz less than everyone else, and I'm going to pay you only 3 and not 4. Kamashman, the Chedesh is Dam Relay, the workers could tell him, Kiam Harna Lacha, Batzer Zuzah, when did we tell you that we're going to work for a zuz less than everybody else? Do I have a Kimlacha? That's because you weren't able to hire workers for this price, and we decided, you know, we're going to be nice and we're going to work for less than everybody else because you couldn't find anybody for a cheaper price. But hashta kimlacha, now you could find everybody else for a cheaper price. We never would have been masking to work for even less than that, and therefore you have to pay is the originally agreed upon price, which happens to be the current going rate. And Amar Rav tells us, halach Rav Daisa, halach zak Rav Daisa, the yad payal al tachtoina. As Gemara, mi Amar Rav, does Rav really say that? Vamar Rav, Rav says, payal yachalach zaraya filu b'chatzia yoyim, a payal, a worker, is allowed to be chayzer. He's allowed to back out of the job even halfway through the day, and he gets paid for his work, and he's not at a disadvantage. And so how could Rav say that the halachas of Reb Daisa, that if a worker backs out, he is at a disadvantage? If you want to suggest, Shani Leila Reb Daisa bein Schirus leKablanos, the Reb Daisa differentiates between Schirus and Kablanos. Remember, Schirus is a guy who's hired for a whole day, and Kablanos is a guy who's hired for a particular job. Well, mi Shani Leila, does he make a difference? No, he doesn't. But Tanya, we have Rav says, Asachas Apoyol, a guy hires a worker, ulchatzei yoyim, shama shemes lemes. And halfway through the day, the worker heard that one of his close relatives died, or he got a fever, and he had to leave the job. If he's a day worker, so he gets paid his wages for half the day, and if he was hired to do a particular job and he backed out halfway through the job, so he gets paid for half of the work that he did, and he doesn't get penalized for leaving early because it was against his will, and money. Who's his brisa like? Ilim Rabban. If you want to say it's Rabbanon, meaning the Tanakama, who argue with Reb Daisa, well, my area Shamash Mes Loi Mes Aishach Zasechama. Why is it the brisa has to say that he heard that one of his relatives died or that he got a fever? Donna said that's a case of an Ines. Kiloi Ines Nami. Even if he wasn't an Ines and he backed out halfway through the job, he would get paid the full amount that he did because Ha'am Rabbanon, we already explained the previous Gemara, the Rabbanon hold Yad Payal Yaina, that the worker has the upper hand, meaning if he backs out, he gets paid whatever he did and he doesn't get fined for that. So El Lav, it must be, who's his brisa? Reb Daisa. It's Reb Daisa. Ushma Mina, what do we learn from here? The Loi Shani Leila Reb Daisa Bein Schiris LeKablanos. There's no difference in Shitas Reb Daisa between Schiris and Kablanos. And the only reason why Reb Daisa holds in this brisa that the worker doesn't lose out is because it was against his will that he had to leave. He got sick or somebody died. But if he decided to leave on his own and he just backed out halfway through the day or halfway through the job, he would lose out. Therefore, we can't say that Reb Daisa differentiates between Schiris and Kablanos, as we have Stira and Divrei Rav. Rav paskins like Reb Daisa on one hand, but on the other hand, Rav says that a worker could back out halfway through the day. So Nachman Yitzchak, he gives an answer. This is talking about a davar avod, something that's going to get ruined if the worker doesn't continue doing it and he backs out. And this is according to everybody. However, the Gemara continues asking, Tanan, our Mishnah had said, Kol Mishana Yadal Tachtayna. Anyone who changes, he deviates, he does something different than originally stipulated, he's at the disadvantage. And the Mishnah also said, Uchal Chayzer Bay, anyone who backs out, Yadal Tachtayna, he also is at the disadvantage. So we analyze the two statements. Bishlam Kol Mishana Yadal Tachtayna, we understand that when the Mishnah says, Kol Mishana, anyone who changes, Yadal Tachtayna, Distam Montana Krabi Yehuda, that could be the Mishnah is going like Krabi Yehuda of the next daf, who's going to tell us something similar. But what about the second statement in the Mishnah, that anyone who's chayzer, anyone who backs out, so he's at a disadvantage, what's that coming to include? Isn't that coming to include a worker who backs out halfway? It's just like Reb Daisa. As we see, Reb Daisa does hold that if a pile backs out, how do we understand this in context of what Rav said? The Gemara says, you're right. El Reb Daisa, Tarti Ka'amar. Reb Daisa holds both. Rav, he holds like him in one case, and he argues with him in a different situation. Alternatively, what does our Mishnah mean by saying anyone who backs out, he has a lower hand, he's at a disadvantage? It's referring to a totally separate case, not referring to a worker who's hired to do a job. Rather, the following, call chayzer by ketzad. What's the case of somebody who's chayzer? Hareisha machar sol chaveiroi by 1,000 zuz. A guy sold a field to his friend for 1,000 zuz. Menos lamayz mehen masayim zuz, and the buyer paid 200 zuz. He gave a 20% down payment. So bismasha meicher chayzer by, if the meicher is chayzer from the sale, yad lekechal yoyna lekech, he has the upper hand. Rata aimer loy, tell me ma'isai. He could either tell the seller, give me back my money, I tell me karka connected ma'isai, or give me property corresponding to the money that I gave you. And mehechem ebeo, from where can he collect that property? Mino idis, from the very best of the seller's property. If lekech is chayzer, if he backs out of the deal, so yad meichal yoyna, the seller has the upper hand. Rata aimer loy, if he wants to tell the buyer, helech ma'isecha, here take your money back. Rata aimer, or if he wants to tell the buyer, helech karka connected ma'isecha, here take property corresponding to the money that you gave me. And mehechem ebeo, from where does he give him that property? Minaziburis, from the lowest quality. Now before we continue this brisa, we already see that chayzer in this situation is not referring to a worker where a baal bayis is backing out midway through a job. It's talking about a business deal where somebody backed out in the middle before the entire thing was paid. And here we see that whoever backs out, yaday al tachtayna. Rav Shem Gamil says, Malam denai son, we teach them to do something, shalo yachzru, so they shouldn't go back. Ketzad, what's this referring to? So again, in this situation where a field was purchased for 1,000 zuz and the buyer gave a down payment of 200, what do they do? Kaisev loy, he writes him the following, Ani plaini ben plaini, machati sa de plainis la plaini be'elev zuz, I so-and-so sold the following field to so-and-so for 1,000 zuz, v'nasali mehem asayim zuz, and he paid me 200, v'areini noishabai chas mehe zuz, and I know I'm owed 800 zuz from him, meaning they basically turned the remaining of the price that needs to be paid into a loan, kana, so he's kana the entire field, umachso es ashar, and he just has to pay him the remainder of it, afil lachar kamashonim, even after many years. So as opposed to saying that they're still in the middle of a deal, and somebody's backing out of the deal, since they wrote the shtar clearly stipulating that the seller sold the field completely, and now he's just owed 800 zuz, now no one's able to back out because the field is 100% the buyer's and he just simply owes 800 to the seller. And now we continue talking about this. Omar Marwe just stated in the Braisa that when the seller backs out, the buyer could say, I want a piece of property corresponding to the money that I gave. And what did the Braisa tell us? Mechem Magbeu, from where does he collect it? Mino Idis, he has to give him from the very best of his property. So now the Gemara tells us, Idis in Chasov. Right now our Havamina is that the seller has to give him from the very best of his property. And we're not talking about the property that was in contract. Let's say an average piece of property was in contract and the seller decided to back out, he has to go to his very best property and give the buyer 200 zuz worth of that. And on that assumption, the Gemara asks, Vlohi hayal bal chayv. He shouldn't be any different than a bal chayv. We have a Mishnah that says, bal chayv dinim b'beinis. A bal chayv, his din is that he gets beinis. Va'idim furthermore, ha'ar diyav zuzay. What about the land that the money was paid for? Why are we ignoring that? So Rav Nachman Yitzchak, he answers, you're right, mi'idis shaba u'miziburis shaba. When the Brisa says that if the seller backs out, he has to give the buyer idis, or when the buyer backs out, he could be paid with ziburis, it's referring to the field itself that is under contract. contract. The seller has to give him either the very best of that property or the very worst of that property. Rav Acha Breda Ravika Amar, he tells us, we can even say that the seller has to give the buyer the best of his properties, and we're not talking about the property under contract. And why is that? Because Staman Dezov and Arab Alpha Zuze, usually when a guy buys a property for 1,000 zuz, which is a lot of money, Azuli Mazel Mazmin Chase, he's going to lower the price of his properties and his stuff and sell it off for very cheap so that he could raise the money to buy this property. Vahavali Kenizik, and he's like a guy who is damaged. Utanan, we have a mission that says, that when a person is damaged, he gets evaluated with the best property. And so that's why in this situation, the buyer would actually get the best of the seller's property, even though, again, we're not talking about the property under contract. Now, continuing to analyze Bryce, we had said, Rav Shimon Gamliel had said that we teach them that when a down payment is made, that they should write a shtar, and through this document, the land is acquired to the buyer, even though he only put a down payment on the property. Now, we analyze this. Time at the cost of Leihachi. It seems to be the only reason why the buyer acquires the property outright, even though he didn't pay for the whole thing, is because they wrote it down in a shtar. But if they didn't write in a shtar, like honey, it's mashma that he's not kind of the entire property. But Vatani, we have a bris that says, if a person gives an eravain, which is like a collateral or a down payment to his friend for some purchase that he's making, and he tells him, if I back out of the deal, ervuni machal lecha, so my eravain is machal to you, could keep it. And the seller says, if I back out, I'm going to double your eravain for you. So this tanai is valid and they have to keep to it. That's Rabbi Yossi says, and we just clarify Rabbi Yossi Tamei, Rabbi Yossi Shitasai, the Amar Smachta Kanya, he holds an Asmachta is Kaina. However, Rabbi Yudah says, Dayashengen Kenegar Havainai, as efficient that he's Kaina, proportionate to his Eravain. And Rav Shimon Gamliel said, Bamatarim, when is this? Bizmacha Amar Loi Ervuni Yakun. That's when he said that my Eravain should make an official Kenyan. Aval Machalai Sadab El of Zuz, but if he sold him a field for 1,000 zuz, Venusalai Mehen Chamesh Mea Zuz, and he paid for half of it with 500 zuz, Kano Umachalai Sashar, he's Kaina that 500 zuz worth of property, and he just has to make up the remainder amount. He has to give the other 500, afil lacha kamashanim, even if it's going to take him many years. So we see from here very clearly that Rav Shimon Gamliel tells us when a person buys a piece of property and he makes a down payment, he automatically acquires the field, even though he didn't write it down in a shtar. So Gemara answers the difference between our case and this case that we just mentioned. Like Kasha, no problem. The case that we're talking about, our Brisa, is referring to where the seller was Ayel V'Nafik. He was going in and out looking for money, meaning after he was given the 200 down payment, he kept on going back to the buyer trying to get the remainder of his money. So we see very clearly from his actions that he has no intention to be mocking the field to the buyer unless he actually gets his money. And therefore, the only way we say that the down payment is actually a kinyan on the land is if they wrote it down in a shtar, I got 200 as a down payment, and I'm mocking the land to him, and he owes me 800. But if that's not written down, and again, the meicher is going to the lekach trying to get the money from him, that's what Alvin Afik Azuzi is, then the property is not acquired by the buyer. But the second case that we just mentioned, is the like Alvin Afik Azuzi, is referring to where the meicher is not going in and out trying to get the money from the lekach. So then we say that the down payment of the lekach automatically acquires the entire field for him, and he just owes the rest of the money to the meicher. And where do we see this? Dama Rava says as follows, a fellow sold something to his friend, and he keeps on going in and out of his friend's house trying to get the money from him, like honey, so his friend is not kind of the item until he fully pays for it. Like but if the meicher is not going in and out trying to get the money from the lekeach, kani, so the lekeach is kind of it. And Dama Rava says something similar, a guy lent 100 zuz to his friend, and he paid him 1 zuz at a time, this is considered a valid payment, he did pay him back, he is able to complain to him. What's the complaint? The Amalei could tell him, you made them lost for me. Because if he paid back 100 in one shot, he would have taken that and either reinvested it or put it back in the bank and he wouldn't have used it. But since he was paid back one at a time, as he gets that one from the borrower, he just buys chocolate and candy with it, and basically he ends up losing it. And that's what the tainas are. Another story, a fellow sold a donkey to his friend, and the buyer paid everything except for 1 zuz. And we see the meicher going in and out, trying to get that last zuz from the lekeach. Rav Ashi was sitting in Ma'ayin this case. Kagav Namai. How do we understand this? Kani or like Kani? Do we say that the Lekeach acquired the entire donkey because he paid for everything minus 1 zuz? Or do we say that he's not Kainet because we see that the Meicher keeps on asking him for that last zuz? And so Amalei of Mordechai Ravashi, Mordechai told Ravashi, Hachi Amar Avimi Magrunya Mishmei de Rava. This is what Avimi from Magrunya said in the name of Rava. Zuza Kizuzi Dami. Even 1 zuz of missing payment is like many zuzim of missing payment. V'loi Kani, and he's not Kainet. Because again, we see he's Ayel V'Nafik. He's trying to get that last zuz. Now Amalei of Acha Breda Rav Yisla Ravashi, V'harmina Mishmei de Rava. We said in the name of Rava, the Kani, he is Kainet. So Amalei, he told him, Titarkim Shmatich, the way we should explain what you heard is we're talking about a person who sold a field because it's no good, it's an inferior piece of land, and there he definitely wants to sell it, and the only reason why the meicher is trying to get his money really quickly is because he does want the lekeach to back out. He sold him an inferior piece of property, he's afraid the lekeach is going to realize and back out, but once he pays the entire amount, he's not able to back out. And that's what that case is referring to. And so we see we have two applications of this. Generally, if we see a person trying to get the money, we say that he's not machne the field until he receives all of it, except if it's similar to this last case where he sold an inferior field and the only reason he's trying to get the money is that the buyer doesn't back out. Now, knowing this, we go into one more case. Pshita, it's obvious. If a person has to sell a field for 100 because he needs 100, but he couldn't find anyone to buy his small field for 100, so if his own masayim, and he sold a larger field for 200, and let's say the down payment that he received was 100, so he received the 100 that he needs, but he's still going in and out trying to get that last $100, like honey, we do not say the buyer was kind of the field. And that's because even though the seller received the $100 he needed, he still needs the other $100 so that he could go buy himself a smaller piece of property because he really didn't want to sell $200 worth of property. He just wanted $100 worth. Or rather, here's the question. Let's say he needs to sell a property for 100 because that's all the money that he needed, and he couldn't find anyone to buy it. However, if he worked hard enough, he would have found somebody to buy a property for 100. But he didn't try hard, and instead he went the easy route, and he sold the property for 200. We see that he's trying to get that remaining 100. How do we look at this case? Is it like he's selling a field because it's inferior quality, and the fact that he's trying to get that remaining $100 is of no consequence to us, and it's considered like he was mocking the field 100%? Or do we say not? Since he's trying to get the money, perhaps he wasn't mocking the field completely. And in this, we conclude Teiku. We're going to have to wait for El Yonav to come and answer this. We're going to stop for the day and pick up tomorrow with the last explanation on our Mishnah. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.